ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 2 एंटाइटल्ड द कॉस्मिक मैनिफेस्टेशन चैप्टर नंबर 7 एंटाइटल्ड शेड्यूल्ड इनकार्नेशंस टेक्स्ट नंबर 24 यस्मा अदात उदधिर ऊढ भयांग वेपो मार्गम सपद्य रिपुरम हरवद्धि दिदक्षो दूरे सुहृन्मथित रोष सुषोण दृष्ट्या तातप्यमानमकरोरगनक्रचक्र वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मीनिंग्स यस्मै अंटु हूम अदात गेव उदधि The great Indian Ocean. Udhbhaya, affected by fear. Angavepaha, bodily trembling. Margam, way. Sapadi, quickly. Aripuram, the city of the enemy. Haravat, like that of Hara. Mahadev. Didaksho, desiring to burn to ashes. Dure, at a long distance. Suhrit, intimate friend. Mathita, being aggrieved by. Rosha, in anger. Sushona, red hot. Drishtya, by such a glance. Tatapyamana, burning in heat. Makara, sharks. Uraga, snakes. Nakra, crocodiles. Chakraha, circle. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. The personality of Godhead Ramachandra, being aggrieved for his distant intimate friend Sita, glanced over the city of the enemy Ravan with red hot eyes, like those of Hara, who wanted to burn the kingdom of heaven. The great ocean, trembling in fear, gave him his way because its family members, the aquatics, like the sharks, snakes and crocodiles, were being burned by the heat of the angry red-hot eyes of the Lord. Purport. The personality of Godhead has every sentiment of a sentient being, like all other living beings. Because he is the chief and original living entity, the supreme source of all other living beings. He is the Nitya, or the chief eternal amongst all other eternals. He is the chief one, and all others are the dependent many. The many eternals are supported by the one eternal, and thus both the eternals are qualitatively one. Due to such oneness, both the eternals constitutionally have a complete range of sentiments. But the difference is that the sentiments of the chief eternal are different in quantity from the sentiments of the dependent eternals. When Ramachandra was angry and showed his red-hot eyes, the whole ocean became heated with that energy. So much so that the aquatics within the great ocean felt the heat, and the personified ocean trembled in fear and ordered and offered the Lord an easy path for reaching the enemy's city. The impersonalists will see havoc in this red-hot sentiment of the Lord because they want to see negation in perfection. Because the Lord is absolute, the impersonalists imagine that in the absolute, the sentiment of anger, which resembles mundane sentiments, must be conspicuous by absence. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, they do not realize that the sentiment of the absolute person is transcendental to all mundane concepts of quality and quantity. Had Lord Ramachandra's sentiment been of mundane origin, how could it disturb the whole ocean and its inhabitants? Can any mundane red-hot eye generate heat in the great ocean? These are factors to be distinguished in terms of personal and impersonal conceptions of the Absolute Truth. As it is said in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Absolute Truth is the source of everything. So the Absolute Person cannot be devoid of the sentiments that are reflected in the temporary mundane world. Rather, the different sentiments found in the Absolute, either in anger or in mercy, have the same qualitative influence. Or, in other words, there is no mundane difference of value because these sentiments are all on the absolute plane. Such sentiments are definitely not absent in the absolute, as the impersonalists think, making their mundane estimation of the transcendental world.
Om Agyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Taranam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So here we are reading about different incarnations of the Supreme Lord. So Lord descends to this material world to show his pastimes. So the difference between our being in the material world and Lord's descending to the material world is that we are forced, but Lord comes by his own sweet will. So living entities, the tiny soul, enters various species, aquatics, reptiles, animals, birds. So what's the reason? It is said by Narottam Das Thakur actually. Nana yoni kadrana bhakshan kare. So what is the reason actually that takes a tiny spirit soul into different bodies? Is the taste. The living entity wants to taste different flavors. But these material flavors are very dirty. So that's why Narottam Das Thakur says kadran. Kadran means unwanted things. So one living entity wants to taste so many unwanted things. And in each species, he gets an opportunity to taste a particular thing. So as a homework, you can see what different species they relish. A tiger would like to eat the flesh. Cow would just graze grass. Or a reptile will like to eat another insect or a mouse. So they want to taste these different flavors. and different flavors of happiness as well, different flavors of sense gratification. So that's the reason a living entity, according to its desire, is forced into a particular body. But Lord's descent to this world is out of his own sweet will. He also appears in various species. So we were seeing so many different incarnations, Matsya, Dhanavantri, and so on. So now our discussion has come to Lord Ram. So these three verses, yesterday's verse, today's and tomorrow's verse, are about Lord Ram. And then the following verse will be about Krishna. So in each species, it's the same person, same personality of Godhead. It's just that it's exhibiting its different pastime. There is no constraint. Like for example, Matsya. A fish is considered to be lowest living entity because it's underwater. And it's a very, pathetic existence. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, fish is always in fear that someone will devour. The bigger fish will, bigger aquatic, devours the smaller. So it's a very low type of existence. But when Lord appears as a fish, it's totally different. So same way we can understand any other incarnation. It's the same person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Person, but it's coming in different species according to its desire. So if we understand this fact that every appearance of Lord is very special, and if we hear about these pastimes, we'll be purified. Because we have, due to our association, we have these different false ideas. They are embedded in our consciousness. So we want to enjoy and we think we know how to enjoy. But these pastimes of Lord are very inconceivable. I have one friend, is new and coming to Krishna consciousness. So whenever I tell him something about Krishna, he says, don't tell it to public. Don't tell it to public. Because it's very hard for general public to understand. So that's why these Srimad Bhagavatam class is not for general public. This is for devotees. This is higher level. So here we can discuss all about pastimes of Lord. But in general, we cannot tell it to public. To public, when we approach a new person, we start from the basics. You know, you are not the body, you are soul. You are feeling stress. Here, do this meditation; it will relieve your stress. So, very advanced concepts cannot be understood by neophytes. So here we see it's described by Srila Prabhupada in the purport that there are two types of eternals, nitya. Nityo nityanam, chetanas chetananam. So the living entities are eternals and the Lord is eternal. Living entities are conscious and the Lord is conscious. But what is the difference? So difference is in the quantity as described in the purport. Eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. So that one chief eternal, the chief conscious being is providing all the necessities of these other innumerable tiny eternals and tiny conscious living entities. So that's the difference. So once we understand this fact that we are the part of the whole, it becomes little easy. Otherwise, as a part, all our activities are aimed at our own happiness. We can analyze our daily activities. Just before doing something, we can just quickly do a check. Few seconds. Why am I doing it? So the answer 99.9% it will be, because I'll be happy if I do this. It's a very quick exercise before doing any activity. So why am I doing it? So that's the false aim. It's a futile aim to satisfy ourselves directly. It cannot happen because we are very tiny. We are like a tiny spark. So we are part of the Supreme. So if we make our goal to satisfy Krishna or the Supreme Whole, then we can be happy. You know. So the famous example from two famous analogies from Srimad Bhagavatam, Yatha taror mula nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bujopashaka pranopaharacha yathendriyanam tathaiva sarvarhanam achyuteja. So the tree has different parts. It has the branches, the twigs, the leaves, the stem, the roots. So there are different parts, but tree will be fully nourished if you water the roots. So our exercise, as we were saying, that why am I doing it? We can ask ourselves this question. We can introspect. That's why we are human beings. Human beings means you ask these intelligence questions. Athato brahma jigyasa. Animal is driven by a strong instinct. It is programmed. It's like super soul just directs a lower species, an animal or a bird, and it just acts automatically. But human being has a choice. So we can say, oh, wait a minute. Why am I doing it? What am I watering by this activity? Am I watering my own needs or am I trying to satisfy Krishna? So watering the root, and this next is putting the food in the stomach. So we can do this exercise in different ways. So before doing anything, we can ask, what am I watering? Or before that, any activity, we can ask, who am I feeding? You know, myself or am I trying to feed Krishna? So this is a very, very important point. So if we do this short exercise, may not be possible before each activity, but with practice it can become our, you know, our habit. We can change our habits. We have developed bad habits to satisfy our own senses, but with practice we can develop the good habit as well. And that is very natural for a soul to serve the super soul. So it's nothing we are trying to impose on ourselves. But that's very natural once it's revived. So in this discussion of Lord Ram, in today's verse, we are seeing that Lord Ram is in separation from his intimate friend Sita. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, when there is discussion between Nav Yogendras and King Nimi, so their different incarnations are briefly mentioned. Then the famous verse which depicts the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is mentioned. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna. So the following two verses are also very important. So there, the last line of following two verses is Vande Mahapurusha Te Charanar Vindam. So there it's mentioned, the Acharyas actually say that, particularly verse number 34 of 5th chapter of 11th canto, there Acharya say this is very important verse, and this one verse actually depicts appearance of three personalities: Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna and Lord Ramchandra. So just Acharyas are so expert, they can see the hidden meanings in these verses. So these verses, as we know, Sanatan Goswami said, each verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with Krishna praying. And they are very deep verses. So these verses are like codes. We can expand them according to our realization. So these Acharyas are so realized that they can see all the hidden meanings in all these verses. When a neophyte person reads the verse, he may not be able to see. You know, someone may know Sanskrit very well. He can translate, but you know, he may not be able to see what's hidden in there. For that, you need realization. So that's why Prabhupada used to say, "These, you know, anyone can translate, but my purports are my ecstasies, you know, my personal ecstasies." So purports are more important, because anyone can translate, anyone can read Sanskrit, learn Sanskrit. So these Acharyas, for that verse they have said that in that there is the verse Maya Mrigam. So they different words they interpret in different ways and take out the meanings. So there it's defined that how Mahapurusha, Vande Mahapurusha Te Charanar Vindam, it also can mean that Mahapurusha is Lord Ramachandra, because when they were in forest and Sita Devi asked Lord Ramachandra to get the beautiful deer, then he started chasing the deer. It was like a Maya Mrigam. Mriga means deer and Maya means it was an illusory deer, because it was a demon just appearing in the form of a deer. So by these explanations of these authentic scriptures, we can understand the importance. And all these descriptions help us to come out of our illusions. So if we constantly, Nityam Bhagavat Sevya, if we constantly hear about these pastimes, so they will make sense more and more. After each hearing, we'll be purified. So we discuss same pastimes again and again. Oh, Lord Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, Damodar Leela. Every year, Damodar Mass comes. Every year, same things are discussed. But that's the process of purification and attaining love of God. If we hear again and again, we'll develop love with Krishna. If you love someone, you just want to hear about them. You want to talk about them more and more. Same activity. So same with Krishna. These transcendental pastimes, if we hear again and again, we will develop this love. In Bhagavad Gita, there is mention of Lord Ram as well. In 10th chapter, it is said, Ramah Shastra Bhritam Aham, that among the wielders of weapons, I am Lord Ram. So Lord Ram had he was amazing fighter. He's of course Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has the opulence of strength. Prabhu was mentioning Jagannath Ram Prabhu yesterday, that all these incarnations have all the six opulences. So one of the opulences is the strength. So Lord Ram exhibited, he was so angry at Ravan. So he exhibited his strength. Rama Shastra Bhitamaham. So with his bow, he released that arrow and killed Ravan. So these statements of Shastra are so important. They are like laws. So we must follow these laws. So it is said, Prabhupada explained in one of his lectures, that this is very important to understand. We are a part of guru and disciple chain. So this is called disciplic succession. So it takes some time to actually understand, because we want to be independent. In purport, Prabhupada writes that we are the tiny dependent ones. Dependent. So we are dependent, but we have a tendency to be independent. So if we understand we are a part of this guru, shishya, parampara, then we can progress. So Prabhupada explains this in the Sanskrit, there is shas, this dhatu, this is like a verb. So many words are made out of that. So shas actually means to rule, right? To rule means you have laws and someone has to follow. So all these words come from this same root, shas. So what are the words? Like shastra. So shastra has all the rules. So we must follow these rules. And the shishya is a disciple of guru. So he must be obedient to the guru. He must follow the instructions. That's why the third offense while chanting the holy name is not to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. If we don't follow, we cannot make progress. We can just keep rowing the boat, right? That example that you have, the boat is there in the water, but the anchor is tied. So you can keep rowing. But if you are doing the offenses, you won't go anywhere. So that's why shishya means he must be very obedient to the instructions of guru, which are for his benefit. So guru gives these instructions not in a mood of dictator, you do this, you do that. He actually gives instructions because he has compassion. It is said a guru or a father or a king, they can chastise their dependents. Why? Because they have the right. Why do they have the right? Because they are looking after them. They are looking after all their needs. No one else can just come and chastise you. If someone is looking after your needs and caring for you and has compassion for you, so that means he has the right to chastise you as well. So he has a right to rule over you. You know, so that's why Shastra. So sometimes instructions may be very heavy. You know, we may say, oh, authority has been very heavy on me, or, you know, my guru has been very heavy on me. But they have the right, because they are looking after you. So they have the right. And there must be a reason behind their chastisement. So there's a saying that God's promises are all on condition of humble obedience. So Krishna promises so many things. My devotee will never be vanquished. You just surrender unto me, I'll take care of all your sinful reactions. He promises so many things. So all these promises will be kept by Krishna if we are humbly obeying his orders. That's the condition. If we are not obeying, why is he obliged to follow his promises? Then if we don't obey his instructions, then he doesn't deal directly with us. He lets the material energy deal with us. So now we can discuss that in this verse it's described about Lord's anger. So the impersonalists, Prabhupada says, impersonalists have this conception that how can absolute have the quality of anger? Anger is a material quality, right? Someone, you don't get something, you get angry. So how can Lord Ram or Absolute Truth, they can have anger? So it's described by Prabhupada that because whatever is present in mundane world must be present in the Absolute Truth. Otherwise, where is it coming from? You know, janmadhyasyata, everything is coming from the Absolute Truth. So everything must be present there. But what we see in the material world is a perverted reflection. So that's why people are bewildered. So they think anger is a bad thing. So the Absolute Truth cannot be angry, because it's a bad thing, and Absolute or God is all good. So how can there be some bad quality in God? So this is the logic. But Lord is achintya, inconceivable. So he can be angry, but not in a material way. His anger is transcendental. So that's why Prabhupada writes, just see, you know, whose red hot eyes can just, you know, burn the whole ocean. You know, it's Lord Ram. So all the living entities in the ocean were disturbed by his red hot eyes. So as devotees, as practicing devotees, we also actually misunderstand Lord's anger. So that's a deep point. So we are afraid that if I don't follow Krishna's instruction, then I won't be happy and I'll get the sinful reaction. So the neophyte stage is fear of God. So we are afraid of Krishna, which is good for the beginners. It is good to be afraid. So that's why you have, you know, there are rules. Krishna has put these rules, you know, no meat eating, no gambling, these four regulative principles. So neophytes follow these rules. Why? Because, oh, if I do this, I'll get the sinful reaction. Krishna will be angry on me. So that's beginning, you know, in the beginning it's okay to feel that and think like that. But ultimately, the goal of Krishna consciousness is to love Krishna. If you love someone, you just say, okay, whatever you say, I'll do. Not because I'm afraid of you, but I love you. Whatever you say, I'll do. So like that. So in first canto, it's described, Abhyarthi das tadatasmai sthanani kalye dadau dyutam panam sthiyasuna yatra dharmas chaturvida. So these four pillars of sin are given there. So this gambling, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex. So there it's described that Kali was given these four places to live. So we must understand, as a concept that it's there, you know. And it's Krishna's arrangement that in Kali Yuga, all these faults will be there. But Krishna is also, as a loving father, is giving a way to, you know, very easily follow all these rules. Kirtana Deva Krishna se mukta sanga param raje. It's a simple, very simple instruction. Kirtana Deva, just by chanting Hare Krishna, you can be liberated. You can go back to Godhead. You can attain love of God. So all these rules and regulations which Krishna puts is for our good. You know, we shouldn't think, we should learn to trust Krishna. We shouldn't be afraid of Krishna that, Krishna did this to me, I did so much service, and still, I'm not happy, I'm not getting a job, or whatever, I'm sick. So we should trust Krishna that if he's doing something, it must be for our good. So then we can go a little further. Now, what's the difference between Lord's anger and anger on the material plane? So that's also very important to understand. If we understand that how Lord's actions are totally transcendental, then we can become transcendental also. We can act on transcendental platform in the Lord's pastimes. So whatever we are doing here, the services in the temple, preaching activities, these are all Lord's pastimes. But we try to do on material plane. I'll do this because I'll get happiness or like that. So, but if we understand the difference between material and spiritual activities, then we can progress further. So Lord's anger is very controlled. When he wants, he can be angry. But on material platform, anger is just like it's very spontaneous, you know. If you're angry, you just act that time. Very quickly. Or if you don't act very quickly, it's still in there and it will build up. Then at one point you will act. And it comes out very dirty, in dirty ways. So Lord's anger is very controlled. So how we can see that? If we see in Mahabharata, when the Pandavas went through so many troubles. So it is asked that why did Krishna not destroy the whole Kuru dynasty when Draupadi was insulted in the assembly house? So the answer given there is that because he wanted to, finish everyone, all their allies and everyone. So he was just waiting. He wanted to, gather everyone on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and then he finished everyone through the agency of Arjuna and other soldiers, the Pandavas. So his anger was totally controlled. You know, he didn't say, you insulted my devotee, Draupadi, that's it, all of you are finished. No, he knew, he could see. He knows everything, past, present and future. But on mundane platform, we cannot see. Our eyes get blinded by these qualities of lust, anger, greed. So lust is a very thick curtain. We cannot see very far. And then, because lust cannot be satisfied, people are trying to satisfy dushpure dushpure. So our knowledge is covered by this lust and it burns like fire. You try to satisfy lust, it increases more. So then what happens as a result? You get frustrated and there is anger. So these are on the material platform. So just one incident from my personal experience. There I could see that how actually anger just builds up. And then it comes out in a very strange way. So I used to study tuitions in India during my bachelor's degree, when I was doing my bachelor's degree. So I had two friends in the same class. So they were from some other town. They used to stay in an apartment. They used to share. So they used to call me over. So sometimes I used to go. So one friend, one time he told me, somehow I went to the bathroom to wash hands, and he said, "Oh, that's our special bucket." So there was a plastic bucket there. I said, "What's so special about this bucket?" He said, "Every month we get a new one." I said, "Why do you get a new one every month? You know, you are students, you are not working, you have limited funds. So why do you get a new bucket every month?" He said, "Because this other friend, he breaks it every month." So I said, "Oh, breaks it? Why does he break it?" So what was happening was, this other friend, youngsters these days, we know they are frustrated due to many reasons. So he used to be angry over a few things. So it would build up within him. So they had a deal. See, now I cannot hold it anymore. So each month, he would go in the bathroom and just smash the bucket on the floor, just break it, and, you know, vent out his anger somewhere. It is said, actually, if you just take your anger out on something, you are relieved a little bit. It is correct, actually. So he used to do that each month. And so that went on. So then at one point, this friend who was breaking buckets, he told me, after the exams, I'll commit suicide. So his anger and frustration was so much that, you know, he had suicidal tendencies. But somehow, you know, I convinced him not to suicide. Somehow he listened to me. So this is, we can see that how this anger just builds up. But if we are doing devotional service, our senses are engaged in the best way, and this anger will never build up. Like when we come to kirtan, we chant Hare Krishna, you know, Hari Bol. So everything just, you know, just goes out. It is said if you just, you know, clap your hands in kirtan, all this, you know, sinful reactions, they go away. So this body is like a tree, and on this tree there are birds of sinful reactions. They are sitting on this tree. So if you clap your hands in kirtan, if you clap your hands, birds fly away. So that's given in Nectar of Devotion. So this material frustration is very degrading. It takes us down. You know, lust is born of passion, then anger is in mode of ignorance. So we can just, go back to this material pool. So another verse from 9th canto, where the pastimes of Lord Ram are described in little more detail. So there, this verse describes little more about the same incident that's happening in today's verse. So here Lord Ram has reached at the banks, at the shore of the ocean. So there in 9th canto it's described, after reaching the beach, Lord Ramchandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastimes of anger, and simply by his glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramchandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him. Falling at the Lord's lotus feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows. So then ocean, the god of ocean, he was pacified a little bit, and then he spoke. So there, it's very important what the ocean spoke. He presented himself as an unintelligent person. He said, "We are like Jada Dhiya." Jada means dull, dull-minded. So these are two opposites, Jada and Chetan. Chetan means you're conscious and active and alive. But dull means, you know, you're like a stone. So Ocean is saying, "I was very dull. I couldn't understand your supremacy. That's why I didn't come So he waited 3 days, Lord Ramchandra. He fasted for 3 days. So there Prabhupada, in the following purport, in 9th canto, he describes that Jadadiya refers to intelligence like that of an animal. A person with such intelligence cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without being beaten, an animal cannot understand the purpose of man. Similarly, those who are dull-minded cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when punished severely by the modes of material nature, they begin to understand him. So this is the thing. So Krishna, we are hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, but why we don't become very serious is because we are not being hit properly. So that's the called intelligence is if you just hear and just follow. But if you don't follow, then Prabhupada says you're like animal. So animal needs beating. You see, you know, when there's a horse cart or bullock cart, they always have a whip. Because the animal is dull. He won't, you tell him, okay, please go. He won't go. Other than there's a whip. You know, so that whip is of material energy. So every day, Nityam Bhagavat Sevya, we are hearing Bhagavatam's instructions. If we don't follow, then Krishna sends the whip of material energy. Then, you know, oh, what happened here? You know, what went wrong? So, Prabhupada writes, a Hindi poet has said, Dukh se sab hari bhaje, sukh se bhaje na koi, sukh se agar hari bhaje, dukh kahan se hoi. That if you are happy, in a happy state, if you are, everything is fine, and then you, with your full energy, you worship Krishna, then there is no problem. Most people go to God, if they are pious, when they are sad. Oh Krishna, I need this, I need that, I'm sad. But if you are worshipping Krishna all the time, then there is no problem. Then even when death comes, you know, a devotee is ready for it. Yesterday we had a test in Bhakti Vaibhav. There was one question. Why did Prithu Maharaj, what did Prithu Maharaj do to, you know, quickly accelerate the process of death? And why did he do it? So Prithu Maharaj wanted to leave the body very quickly by his yoga process. Because once the one is sound mentally and physically, that's the time when we should leave the body. Devotees desire like that. That now I am, you know, fit and fine. And if you wish, you know, I can leave the body. Devotee is ready to leave the body. So that's why when everything is fine, we should be ready. We should do everything very seriously. Not wait for a distress and then become serious. So this intelligence, this requires intelligence. So intelligence can be given by Guru. So in Vrindavan, there are three main deities. It's described, these three deities represents the three goals of all the Vedas. So three goals are Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. So the Madan Mohan deity represents the initiating spiritual master and it represents the goal of Sambandha. So by praying to Madan Mohan deity and by following instructions of initiating spiritual master, we can understand that we are tiny living entity, part of Krishna. We can understand our Sambandha, our relationship with Krishna. And then next one is Govindji, Radha Govind. So Govindji deity represents the instructing spiritual master or the Shiksha Guru. By following the instructions of these gurus, we start the Abhideya, the process of devotional service. And then we reach the final Prayojan or the ultimate goal. The topmost devotees are attracted by Gopijan, Gopinath. So Krishna as the lover of gopis. So that's the aim. If we follow the instructions of our Shiksha Gurus, our Diksha Guru, and follow the instructions or rules given in Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures, then very easily we can access the internal energy. So by reading and hearing these pastimes, we know the plan of Lord. We can understand. Most of the time, why are we sad as practicing devotees? Because we can't understand why did Krishna do this. If we read these pastimes, we see, oh, Krishna did this to this devotee because that was his plan. So same way, by practice, we can see that how Krishna, what is the plan of Krishna for me? Because it's all personal. It's not like you come to the katha, hear the katha, it's very nice, and you go. So in India, you see so many kathas are going on. People go, there is no change of heart. They just go out the same way or even worse, because you just heard something from the lips of a serpent. It is said by Sanatana Goswami, milk touched by a lip of serpent becomes poisonous. So if you go to these kathas and the person who is speaking, he's not following those instructions of Krishna and he's still reciting, he's like a snake because he's envious and he's depletious. He's doing that for his own sense gratification. So then you become worse after hearing those kathas, rather than, you know, improving. So we should hear from a genuine spiritual master. And we are so fortunate to be in ISKCON. We have so many genuine devotees, spiritual masters, shiksha gurus, diksha gurus. There can be so many shiksha gurus. We can learn from so many people. There is no restriction. We can hear so many lectures by so many nice devotees, and we can learn from each devotee. So just to summarize, what we discussed was that how Lord's anger is on transcendental platform, and if we follow the instructions given in the Shastra and be obedient to these rules, we can actually get rid of all these lower emotions of material anger, lust, and everything. So I'll end there and ask if you have any questions or any senior devotees would like to comment on something. Yes, Prabhu.
Just to comment that this Lanka was actually built by Lord Shiva or Parvati, but Ravana worshipped Lord Shiva in the death court, so he did not build it himself. So the city of gold.
Yeah, Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosh, so when someone worships him, he, you know, sometimes becomes pleased and gives them something which is sometimes not good for them. So like in the pastime of Vrikasur, when Lord Shiva gave this boon to Vrikasur that if you touch someone's head, the head will be, you know, it will burst. So then he tried to touch Lord Shiva's head to try it out. Like you have a test ride, you know, just try how it, you can drive it. So he wanted to test on him, the one who gave him this boon. Then Krishna tricked him, and then he told Lord Shiva, don't, you know, give these sort of boons to these people, you know. So like that. Sometimes demigods are obliged to give these boons. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
As we're practicing devotional service, it's a lifelong job trying to reach Krishna. So we may become a little disappointed if it's not coming soon enough. And realization, when things come up within our heart, and we may become a little discouraged. We thought, yeah, I thought I'd given that up. But they somehow come up again, those similar desires we thought we conquered. So how can we remain positive, like that, enthusiastic, when these things come to the light and come?
Of course, I was discussing with Jay Prabhu yesterday that most of us are the beings of our association. So we will be like those who we associate with, most of us. So His Holiness Devamrit Maharaj, in one lecture, he was saying, there is a very rare person who can just, you know, do his own thing, doesn't matter what's going on around him. He can just, you know, read and, you know, be ecstatic, follow everything nicely. Doesn't matter who is around. So that's a very rare person, you know. I think it said, you know, who can beat to his own tune, right? It's like the same. But for most of us, we have to choose our association correctly. So if we see the devotees who are actually enthusiastic, who are progressing, if we associate with them, like you yourself, you are so enthusiastic. By seeing you, we get our enthusiasm and serving with you. So like that, if we associate with nice devotees, we catch their enthusiasm. That's my understanding. If anyone you want to add on that, or anyone else, yes, who?
You said you verified your friend. So how did you do that? You want to tell us?
I can't remember the detail. I wasn't a devotee that time, but some mundane logic or something I gave them, and it could be that he was not that courageous as well. You know, it's not easy to commit suicide. You may say that, oh, I will, you know, I'll commit suicide. He was saying after the exam. So what's the need to wait after for our exams to finish? You know, you want to end your life, better end it now. So, you know, you don't. So, you know, so all the credit doesn't go to me. Some goes to his not being courageous as well. Any other question? Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned like in Kali Yuga, you know, there will be tendencies of lust, greed, and anger, and all that. So one side you say it's bound to be there to prevail, and the other side, you know, you've got to refrain from it. So what are the, how can you refrain from such activities? Like you just say you just exercise control or whatever.
So it is said, you cannot, if there is lust, for example, if you engage, a thought comes and you say, oh yeah, thought came, and just do it, you know, just do it. So if you do it, then the result is not very good, right? You can understand, this is by logic. So if you engage in it, you cannot be happy. And then the other extreme is you control it, as you're saying, you control it. So that's also not possible for a long time. You can control it for some time, you know. So I remember I used to take, before being a Krishna devotee, I used to take New Year vows. This one I won't do, you know. At most, I remember, it just lasted, you know, 9 days. And on the 10th of January, I was back into my habits. So you can control, but only to certain degree. So what's the remedy? The remedy is to understand that by nature, the spirit soul is active. You have to act. You have to engage in some sort of activity. So according to Bhagavad Gita, it is said, param drishtva nivartate, that you understand that this is a lower activity, but my senses need engagement in the higher activity. So we have senses, tongue, nose, eyes, ears. So now you are engaging. Now my tongue is being engaged in speaking about Krishna consciousness. So that's a higher engagement. And then your ears, my own ear, we are hearing about Krishna. So by engaging all our senses in Krishna consciousness, they become purified. So we have to engage our senses, but in the higher taste. So then all the lower qualities, the lower engagements won't look very tasteful, because you have a higher taste, right? So that's the thing. For example, you have a car. Sorry?
I used to have a car.
Which car you had?
Like the last one was Dodge Caliber.
Dodge Caliber, okay. So if we offer you a new Mercedes, registration paid every year, fuel paid every year. So, for example, you have your Dodge Caliber with you. Just suppose you have it. And we offer you this new car. with all, everything paid over the next few years. So will you think twice to give up your Dodge Caliber? You won't, right? Because you're getting something higher, so you will, you know, you won't even think that will, you know, you will just give it up. So same way, these lusty desires, greed, material anger, these are all very lower qualities. So if you see what's Krishna consciousness, you know, what's higher, if you see these higher engagements, then those things will very naturally go away. We have seen so many examples. People who used to smoke, drink, eat meat, it becomes very easy. You don't have to give up straight away anything, but you engage in the higher things and everything lower will go away. Okay, so it's over 9. I think we should finish here. So thank you very much. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.